Amen. Father God, we just thank you so much for this time together with our brothers and sisters and you. Lord, we ask that you lead us tonight. Guide us into those things that you want us to talk and pray about, Lord. I thank you for this open heaven, Lord. And I praise you for your life in ours and us in you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we can depend and trust in the promises of the word. And Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you, Lord, that your angels are out there doing the work that they're supposed to do. And that your people are doing the work that they're supposed to do. Being led by your spirit and doing the things by the spirit. And now, Father, I just praise you, glorify you for what you're doing in us. Getting us ready for this great time ahead to where these works that you did on earth are going to be once again prolific and even greater works, you said, we would do. And I know that it's going to happen. It's already started happening. And I praise you for it, Father, in the name that's above all names. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And I thank you, Father, for helping those people over there across the waters with that orphanage. I thank you, Lord, for the provisions that will abundantly do more than they can ask or think. And I thank you for it, Father, to save those kids and to get them warm, get them in beds with sheets and blankets and get them in a house that has good working bathrooms. And we thank you, Father, for good people that are there teaching them about you, Lord. And I praise you and glorify you for putting that orphanage building in great shape. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your angels are on the job even as we speak. Thank you, Father, for that. Lord, I ask for provisions for all the evangelists that are getting the word out too, all across all of the countries in that area, in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for the multiplicity of thousands over there that are coming to you from that other faith, Lord. And I thank you for it.
Amen.
And praise you for it, Father. Donna?
Yes.
You're unmuted. There you go. And I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. And Lord, I thank you that this revival, we're praying this revival in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you give us the provisions we need to get the gospel out across the world and to teach and to disciple the people that you want us to disciple, Lord, and place it in our hearts to be bold with the word of God out in the world. There's nothing more effective than a bold disciple of yours, Father, with the signs and wonders following him, Lord. And I thank you for it because I know we lay our hands on the sick, they're going to recover. And we cast those demons out, they got to go. And we praise you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Lord, stir up our spirit, Father, every day. Stir it up, Lord, to do the things that you want us to do. Lead us out and show us what you want us to do, Father. And I praise you for it and I glorify you, Lord. There's nothing that we can't do that Jesus did already. And she showed us how to do it. And all he did it with a word. He formulated the universe with a word. And that's how you want us to do it, Father. And I praise you and I glorify you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night in the name that's above all names. Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to pray something in particular for the children in the orphanage.
Yep.
Father, I ask you to find another place for the children to stay until that one gets repaired. It sounds absolutely horrible. And I just thank you for doing that. At least until, you know, at least until it gets fixed, or just find them a completely new place for good. I don't care. Just, Lord, however you want to do it, Lord, just find them a place with good shelter and warmth and bath facilities and just good living conditions, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, I ask and I pray that you place it in one of those sheep's hands over there that has a lot of money to help these people out locally in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, Father. He's riding on his camel now, going to him in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father. We declare and decree that to happen in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. All right, anybody else? We got to get these angels to working. All right, anybody else got a prayer? Yes, Marilyn.
I just want to tag on. Father, I just thank you and praise you for the work that you're doing. And Father, I think about Joseph of Arimathea. Father, he was a man that had money, and yet he used his money to care for the body of Christ. We see that in the natural, in the Gospels. He's the one that took down the body of the crucified Savior and bought a tomb and put it there. And Father, that what was done in the natural, you're doing in the spirit now. Father, I do. I believe that there's somebody out there, and I've been praying that way, that there's somebody out there with means that is of the elect, and that we just send forth the Holy Spirit to be poured out on this person in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. That they're just going to come running into the kingdom. Father, that you touch their heart in such a mighty way with your love, that their heart's just going to melt. And Father, that they're going to get completely saved to the uttermost, and Lord, that they're going to want to live the gospel. So Father, we don't just pray for the provision that is needed here, but we pray for the souls of those that can help to bring them quickly into the kingdom. And Father, you are just, wow, nothing is too hard for you. And we thank you and praise you, Father, that this is already being done. You're bringing somebody into the kingdom in a mighty, mighty way, somebody that's got means and that can be feet on the ground there and see what is going on, and that has the right connections to either get this place fixed up or give them a new place. Somebody that's really got the connections, and it's going to be done, and it's going to be done well, and it'll be done. Father, we're asking and in faith and trusting and believing it's going to be done soon. And Father, we thank you and praise you, and we just rejoice for this person and that you're bringing into the kingdom, and that he's going to be there to bring, you'll use him to reach a different level of society there. And they're going to come in too. And Father, I just thank you that you do what only you can do. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe with her. And I thank you, Father, for that man already there, if not men. And I thank you, Father, for that. Glory be to God. All right, Geneva.
I just want to ask for prayer real quick. Our Kia is having issues. I think the alternator went bad, so Morgan ordered a new one, and he's trying to put it in, but he's having a hard time. But anyways, if you all just agree with me that the part that he ordered is good and that we weren't given a bad part, because we did get a good deal on it, but I just want to pray that the Lord give him the knowledge to put it in. So thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you've blessed Morgan with the knowledge and the know-how to put this part in the car, Father, and that the car works better than it ever has before, Lord. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you have met our needs and that this is only happening just to be a testimony to you and to increase Morgan's faith and increase my faith even more. And Lord, you've done it before. You've given him the knowledge before, and I know you're going to give it to him again. And I just thank you, Father.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that alternator is going to slip in there. He's going to be able to hit the bolt holes, put it in there, and it's going to be quick. And the belt's going to go right on there and tighten it up, and there it goes. And we praise you, Father, that the alternator is going to work on it. In Jesus' name, like Geneva said, it's going to work till you get back. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Angels, we command you to go out there and help Morgan get that thing in there. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It is done. Look for it. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Vanita.
Hi, everyone. I just need hello. I just need agreement and prayer that I don't know how. So I have a little bit of a cold and a little fever and a sore throat and everything, but I don't. It's just lying symptoms here, and I am healed and I am restored, and I just praise the Lord just for giving me time to read and study, and just, I don't even feel bad. So praise the Lord. It's kind of a blessing. And so, yeah, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Vanita is healed, but she's going to slip in there and get in your word anyway. In Jesus' name, Lord, just a little old cup of chicken noodle soup will burn her right out of it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. And a word of God. Thank you, Lord. Matter of fact, we just command those symptoms to go completely away from her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I command I command every tormenting spirit out of this fellowship right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you up and cast you out of here. In the name that's above all names, Jesus. And I thank you, Father, this is going to be a free fellowship tonight without any hindrances from the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we bind up any kind of faction that might try to show its ugly head in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, it is done. Lord, I thank you for placing it in our hearts to continually be on the offensive rather than the defensive. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that Patrick's going to do a great job up there in New Jersey. He's going to get Preston squared away, and them demons are going to go from that college, too, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing a good work up there for Princeton, in Jesus' name, and leaving Jesus behind with them. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Missy.
I want to pray about my wrist. I want you all to agree. In the name of Jesus, I praise you and I thank you, Father, that I have no pain, no soreness in my wrist, no inflammation, whatever it is, lying symptoms are there. I can command them to go in the name of Jesus. They're not mine. And my wrist is healed and I have no pain in it at all. In Jesus' name. And I praise you Thank you, Lord, for bearing the pain, and by your stripes I am healed. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father. She's healed. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I think I saw Daniel, what was in the lion's den a while ago. Was that him?
It's not a lion's den, it's a sheepfold.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. He shut the lion's mouth up to protect the sheep. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Yeah, Donna.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. So I'm just going to go over some things that's been going on in my life. I was on the outreach ministry. My goodness, it's probably been a month or so ago. And after I got off the call, I just started being attacked by demons, literally. Condemnation, spirit of rejection, just unworthiness. And it went on for some time. And it was a war, literally a war. And even factions start coming in my mind against UBM. And I don't know anybody, you know, to as far as talking about UBM, but I just started getting questions and doubt about starting about UBM. And it was just thoughts. And I was praying, I thought that God was giving me that there was a spirit of pride. And I thought it was UBM. And I was really searching and praying. And my children, I have four children, a son and three daughters, married and grandkids. And I told them, I said, you know, cause they know that I've been listening to UBM for years. And I told them that I was no longer listening to UBM because I thought there was a spirit of pride. And I continued getting attacked by demons. And, I was just praying and searching and praying and searching, and God showed me that I had a spirit of pride, of course. And it was all stemming from this spirit of rejection. And so condemnation, spirit of Jezebel, fear of man, unworthiness, shame. Just all of these spirits were attacking me. And praise God, he delivered me. I repented of all these things. I went to each one of my children and told them I was wrong, that it was me that God was convicting and it wasn't UBM. And so it's just been a really roller coaster. And I praise God that I have repented and they're no longer with me. And I just feel joy in my heart that God has cleansed me of all these evil spirits.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for self-deliverance. Praise the name of the Lord. And we, not self, but you, Lord. You delivered her. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. That is awesome testimony, Donna. Thank you so much.
Yes. So praise God. He is on the throne. Hallelujah,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it is a warfare, and we need to be on the offensive rather than the defensive. That's what happens a lot of times. We're not very careful to be on the offense.
Well, and the thing is so many people think, you know, it's by you know, talking against, you know, with another brother and about someone and stuff. But sometimes it actually comes in with thoughts.
Yeah.
And you got to reject those thoughts as soon as they come in, you know, so.
Yeah, that's what happens to everyone that's gone is that same scenario.
Yes. So anyway, I have joy in my heart and I praise God.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father, for continually to fill her with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, Isaac.
Yeah, hey, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Well, I just wanted to say that, share a testimony, and it's, because this is what has happened, and I'm saying that by faith. There's some lying symptoms going around here, people coughing and whatnot, and Israel wanted me to say something, but I just want to thank the Lord that He's healed us, that we can believe in His word and trust it. It's never failed us, even when we were traveling on the roads. It's always proved true, and I'm thankful again. I just wanted to confess it by faith.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there is healed by the stripes of Jesus. We praise you, Father. No more coughing, no more sneezing, no more runny nose, no more fever, none of that garbage. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father. For the testimony we're going to hear, Lord of God. Y'all believe that? I do. Amen. All is well. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Geneva, go ahead.
Well, I actually did want to share this last time, but I kind of got distracted. But anyways, I'm going to share it now. So when we were back in Kentucky, and I said that a bunch of Morgan's family was sick, you know, me and Morgan, we were praying for us, praying for everybody. And, you know, I... especially just praying for Micah because, she was, you know, all the little kids were sick and I was just praying that the Lord heal them and keep Micah safe and her not even get any symptoms. And her little cousin who's also the same age as her was having a terrible fever, just really lethargic. And, I felt so bad for her and I was in there helping, Savannah, that's her mama. I was helping her with the baby and, just praying a bunch. And, anyways, I was just praying like, Lord, please keep your angels over Micah. Like, you know, cause she's touching all the same toys. Like, you know how kids are. They all touch everything and slobber and this and that and all, you know, in each other's faces. And, I can say that praise the Lord. Micah has been feeling completely fine this entire time. And, you know, me and Morgan, we had to go through our own trials and, the Lord really did make me feel better, after we prayed that night and, you know, trials came back and I had to keep casting it down. Anyways, I just want to praise the Lord that Micah, even in the midst of me and Morgan's trial and, you know, being around everybody else, like that little girl's just doing amazing. And, you know, it's because, Lord's just had his hand over her. And, I just kept imagining, you know, just a veil around her. Nothing could, get through. And I just want to thank God for that. And thank you, Lord, for anybody on here and for Isaac, Marianne, and Israel. God, thank you, Lord, that they're all protected. And for Vanita and Marissa. Lord, whatever this is that's going around, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus and I cast it down. Father, I thank you, Lord, that, we are your chosen, Lord, and your promises are true. And, Father, no plague can come nigh thy tent. And, we thank you, God, for Psalm 91 over us, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, for, keeping us all well and healthy, and that we have the mind of Christ. And the second that something tries to tell us we don't, we cast that down, and that, we're quick to do so. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we are healed by your stripes. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just a minute here. All right. Anyone else? Oh, I'm sorry, Claire. I couldn't see you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I would just like to pray for two little babies that are in the town. The one, well, I'm just going to pray. Actually, three. Lord, you say in your word that we should suffer not the little children, but let them come to you. And Father, there are two specific little children, little babies, Lord, under 3 years of age, who are suffering with eczema in this town, so much so that their moms can't sleep at night. And Lord, you know what that's like. You don't need to sleep, Lord, but you made us to rest, to need that as a type of resting in Christ. So I rebuke those symptoms of eczema off those children. It doesn't matter if those children have been vaccinated. It doesn't matter if those children are saved or unsaved. What matters is that that healing takes place, and that in some way you would enlighten the eyes of these parents, understanding that it is through no works of their own, but that it is a miraculous healing, and that it does come from the one who speaks life into existence, and that they fall on their knees, Lord, and that you would give them, their families, the grace to repent, to confess their sins, and to bring them into the kingdom in a mighty way, Father. These are precious little children, Lord, that you've ordained to be here. You've made them. And the world will be a happier place because they are healed. And we know we need a little bit of light in this town, Lord. I pray that you would use whichever vessel you deem appropriate, that you would create boldness in the hearts that need to be emboldened, and that this would shoot forth. I command the angels to administer healing to these precious little babies in the name of Jesus. And Father, there's the other little baby in this town that you know, Lord. I don't know. I've just seen this child twice. But this little baby is under a year, severely undernourished. And Lord, there's a, you know, the problem with the eyes there, Lord. I've prayed for this child in the spirit, Lord. I haven't had the boldness to go up to the mom and ask if I can pray for the child. Please give me the boldness if it's me that you want to use, Lord. But I know what a beautiful miracle that would be if that little child could just have its sight restored and look straight and be able to see all the faces that are smiling at it and that have love to give. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I believe it is done, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful thing that you've done for these children. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I remember a story when you said that about boldness that T.L. Osborne told about him and his wife had gone over to India to be these great missionaries. And they came back in less than a year with their tail tucked between them. And And he declared that he'd never take her anywhere again overseas. And a little while later, he saw William Branham. And y'all know who William Branham was. He was a little guy from Kentucky that had very humble. And there was a little girl. Her mother brought this little girl up there that was deaf in her ears. And Brandon told her, he said, "I adjure you, you deaf spirit, to come out of her right now. And I thank you, Father, it's done. Now you go on." She could hear perfect after that. Hear perfect. So he got real fired up about it, T.L. Osborne did. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He told his wife. He said, "We're going back to India." He went back there. And before, he had gotten in an argument with some Muslims about the Bible and their Bible, the Quran. And he didn't have an answer for them. He said, "Well, we got a pretty little Bible too." You know, he had a pretty one, a black one with gold leaves and everything. And they said, he said, but this time when he went, and they just sent him back because he couldn't do nothing with him. This time he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he knew something. He knew about Jesus and he knew about healing. And he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "You bring me 10 deaf people. Just bring them over here." And they did. And he did the same thing. He said he just did what he heard William Branham do. He said, "I adjure you, you deaf spirit, to leave these people." And he'd lay his hands on them and they'd be healed. He'd do that 10 times and they were healed. Said it brought the whole town to Jesus. Brought the whole town to Jesus because of his boldness. Now guess what'll happen if we get bold? The same thing. The same thing. I know it takes some doing. I hesitate a lot myself. Used not, but I do. I have been in the past, but I'm getting that boldness back because I've asked the Lord to bring it back, and he said he's done it. He said he's going to do it. He's already done it. That's what Most of the disciples prayed for was boldness. Boldness in the word. It wasn't more power, wasn't more this, more that. It was boldness that they prayed for. Praise God. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Missy.
I just found out from Brooke that everyone in the house has got the flu. She said Maverick has a cough. Well, the other day she said he had a cough. I want to pray for all of them. Lord, I rebuke this infirmity. I rebuke this flu. I rebuke what they are spraying in the air in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray protection upon all of our families, immediate and extended in the name of Jesus. I rebuke this in the mighty name of Jesus. And I command healing to Kurt, Brooke, Maverick, and Blake in the mighty name of Jesus. I command all these lying symptoms to go in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of them. By Jesus' stripes, they are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them the faith to stand and believe with me that they are healed and that they speak nothing but that they are healed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I pray and I thank you, Lord, that you are going to get all the glory and the honor and the praise for this, Lord, that they are going to get well so quickly they're going to know that it was you. And I just praise you, Lord, and that they are going to thank you and praise you themselves, Lord, and give you the credit. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it's done.
Amen.
Marl, be quiet over there. What's the matter with you, man? All banging around there.
I'm getting his nightly ice cream.
Oh, is he? Okay, well, you go ahead, brother. I know the feeling.
Did you hear that, Marl?
No.
He said, you go ahead. I know this.
All right. Anyone else?
I got a bit of a praise report. Karen's feeling a lot better. She's still in a little bit of pain, but the stones are gone and all that's all good. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Karen. Thank you, Lord. Let's do a little prayer here for our families, okay? Just in general. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord. You said any time that we use your name, that we shall have it. In the name of Jesus right now. I command every spirit of infirmity on our family members to go right now in Jesus' name. I command all symptoms to leave them right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for delivering all of them from these infirmities. From whatever reason it is, it don't make no never mind. They're gone. Those infirmities are gone in Jesus' name. You go from our family members right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Julie.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your protection on our families, your love, your mercy, your grace, your protection from all sickness and disease, because they are our families and we have a Passover and they're part of that. We claim Psalm 91 over them. And no plague shall come near them. No sickness or disease shall come upon them. And Lord, if that should touch them in any way, Lord, that they would have the boldness to declare your name over themselves, Father. Those who know about you, Lord, that they would not turn to man. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you and praise you, God, that this is our inheritance in Christ Jesus, that all the poisons they're trying to inflict on us, all their bioweaponry, cannot come against your name and faith in your name and the word of God and the blood of Lamb. What we pray in agreement, Lord, we know it's done in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace and hedge protection around each and every one of them, Lord. And they will know it's you. If you'll show them, Lord, the power of your name, the power of your word. And thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're muted, Michael.
That's a good thing. All right. Anybody else? All right. Let's get into Word, Women, and Authority.
Hey, Michael, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Well, that would be two questions. I just wasted the first one.
You did.
Example and story about, was it Branham? David Branham?
William Branham.
William Branham. And that boldness, and, you know, the points of boldness and everything to declare the word of the Lord and everything. And, obviously our example is that of Jesus, who was, the most, he had absolutely no problem with being bold when he needed to be bold. But this morning I woke up with a scripture on my Moses. It wasn't the specific scripture, but it was these words. And that is, Jesus, when he was laughed to scorn, he put out those scorners out of the room before he could. There was a couple of examples. I think they were raising a child that had died. And so there was a contrast. There was that example. There was an example of when Jesus went into after his second miracle, or the second miracle, when he went into Capernaum, I believe, after the first miracle of turning the water into wine. And went into a place and he tried, it said he could only heal a few folk that came to him. He marveled at their unbelief, and because of it, he could do no mighty works. And so there appeared, when I got to thinking about it, is that, there appears to be aspects or times or conditions when Jesus either did not exert that boldness, or that there was a block to that boldness, or a block to something there in order to minister the healing or minister the miracle that was required in that particular time. So I don't know if anybody has any thoughts related to that, because obviously, you know, there's God only works through faith. And I wrote, as I was pondering these thoughts, and I read those various scriptures related to that. But I wrote this down and said, every miracle Jesus did, he did by faith in the Father's ability to do the works through him. We do not work the works of God, and this is what came to me, because we deserve it, by being holy, or though the holiness element is beneficial in there, but we don't work the works of God or faith in God by because we have attained some level of righteousness or benefit or whatever from God. But it just kind of clarified in my mind that we humbly submit to God, and from the foundation of our unworthiness, trust God to support his word and accomplish the work of healing because of his word, or our belief in his word, our faith in his word. And so there's that condition within our lives, I think, for the first, through the whole process of discipleship, that God is separating us from the unbelieving mindset of the world within us and separating us from that. But to what degree does that apply to the world around us? Meaning, are there times, are there conditions when healing and the works of God, the works of faith, are applicable or workable? Are there certain conditions where they are not? Such as the example when Jesus went into the environment of unbelief. So I guess I just had some questions in my mind related to that. He obviously in some conditions he took even of his 12 disciples, one being a devil, but there were even times when he only took the three closest, James, Peter, John, into certain situations. And so why didn't he take the other eight, or, through the process? So I just had some questions related to that, and whether it would be hindrances to, an environment that is a hindrance to our personal faith, mm-hmm. or is it an environment that the receptors are not able to receive the healing or whatever else it would be, casting out of demons or the like? So I don't know if anybody has any questions or if this is too heavy a subject to discuss or whatever, but I guess I just had those questions popping up in my mind today. Do you believe that faith overcomes everything, even in these conditions of an environment of unbelief?
I think he froze up.
Me?
Yeah, you did there for a minute. You okay now?
No, I just quit talking.
Oh.
I asked my question. I was just wondering if anybody had any thoughts related to that.
Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what comes to my mind is Jesus in his hometown could not do very many or whatever because of their unbelief. He had all the faith in the world. So I don't
go ahead, Missy.
So I mean, I didn't completely hear everything that you said, Patrick, because my mind was still thinking and praying, you know, in my mind about the whole sickness thing, and just thanking the Lord that it's done, and just
would you mind stating the question again? Just the question.
Is the example of the scripture of when Jesus came in to heal, raise a damsel that had died, And it says that those around him laughed him to scorn because that child was dead, and they laughed him to scorn. And he physically put them out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then he performed he raised her up and healed her. I guess my question is, Lord, can I be sensitive? Can I be in alignment to that principle and be sensitive to that so that I am not fighting against a hidden law that is in operation that is in contrast to healing? Do you understand what I'm saying? Or maybe
yeah.
You know, I may have faith for healing, but by going into an environment like that, am I correct in assuming that environment will somehow disrupt that healing faith from functioning? Is that simply a boldness issue on my part, or is it a higher principle that is functioning in effect?
Here's what I found out in the past in my experience, and that is, if you've got unbelief in it makes no difference whether it's bringing somebody back from the dead or healing or whatever. If you've got somebody in there that has doubt and unbelief, you want to get them out of there. I found out that the healing comes quicker when you do, and it's more thorough. If I can be, anytime you've got doubt and unbelief in there, it's like that faction spirit. It'll spread, and you want to get it out of there. And once you get it out of there, always remember this. You have Jesus. You're bringing Jesus in there for the healing. He's the one that does it. All he's doing is using us as a conduit to do it, to bring about the healing. That's what we have to remember. He's always with us. And anytime that you pray for somebody and you know that God's going to heal them because he's with you, and it's going to happen, and you trust him to back up his word, and it'll happen. The less doubt and unbelief you have in the room, the more successful you'll be. And in the case of Jesus, if you remember, he got them all out of there, but mom, didn't he? Mom and dad raised him from the dead.
And then there was another example of the, I think it was Jairus, maybe wrong, that he came and asked, Jesus to come and heal his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Jesus said something like, if you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So it was kind of the contrast of that, is that he understood his weakness, mm-hmm. but he was faithfully coming to Jesus for both conditions, you might say.
Yeah.
And that contrasts the attitude of scornfully laughing at faith and laughing at Jesus, because that particular condition, he completely got it out of the room, separated him out.
But what did Jesus tell us, talking about that same issue there with the guy that helped my unbelief? He said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed And you can take a mustard seed and shake it out of a salt shaker. He said, it'll happen. You can move a mountain with it. Because why? Jesus wasn't doing it anyway. It's not us doing it. He's using our faith. What kind of faith? The size of a mustard seed. That's all it is. Just the size of a mustard seed.
So, one other example of Jesus going into an environment where he talked to Mary, not his mother, but Mary and Martha, when he was going to raise Lazarus. Well, he went into an environment, I have to say, of probably complete unbelief that Lazarus would be raised. Yet that didn't stop him. That environment did not hinder him. So.
Let me ask you another question. While you're on that subject, did Lazarus have any faith?
I don't think so.
No, he didn't. I don't think he was aware of it. No, he did. So Jesus' faith is what raised Lazarus up, not Lazarus' faith. Jesus' faith is what raised that little girl up, not her faith. Jesus' faith is what raised the other one up, not their faith. Just remember that. All right, Benita. Does that help, Pat?
Yes.
Yeah, hey, you. Here's another one. You remember when he went into his own hometown? Remember when he went into his own hometown?
And could do no mighty works?
You know why?
Because of their unbelief.
But all that came to him got healed, though. All of those that came to him got healed. It was those that didn't show up because they didn't believe Jesus could do it. Because he was, that's Joe's boy. For goodness sake, you know, but he healed all that came to him.
Yeah.
And it's us believing that it's God in us that's doing the work. And we don't have to worry about it because God's going to do it. He said in his word, he's going to back that word up. And all we have to do is just believe that God is in us and that he's going to do the work. Wherever it is. And just like we talked about, if you got some doubt and unbelief, you know, hey, would y'all step over there outside the room here just for a moment so we can go ahead and minister to these people. And I've done it before, you know, there's other people that's done it too. Don't mind doing it because I want to see God do a miracle, you know, to shut people's mouth up that come from these apostate religions. Well, God doesn't heal anymore. That's what I did to that boy out there in that flea market that was full of demons. And those people came against me and said, oh, he's a heretic, heretic, heretic. And I took him on the steps of their church about a week later, and God delivered him. That's what God told me to do. I just did what he told me to do. Go ahead, Benita. And it wasn't me. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't me. It was God himself that did it. All right, Benita.
Yeah, I was just kind of reading on the same kind of topic today. And I read that one testimony called Healing the Epileptic on the site. And there was the girl that had epilepsy and she'd fallen into a fire and they were trying to figure out what to do. And they had contacted David and asked him what to do. And I mean, one of the things that he didn't know if she was a believer or not. And so he asked the guy there to ask her to repent and believe before they did the work of casting out the demon. So he made sure that they did that first and then they cast out the demon and then just to stand on that. Stand in faith on that because you don't want the demon to come back sevenfold. So you have to stand in faith on that belief. So that, That was just what I read there.
that's the same thing with healing too. When you heal an unsaved person, if you get somebody that's unsaved healed, you tell them about the Word of God. Now, here's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says if you don't put something in that empty room now, you're going to, this seven times stouter than the last one's coming after you. It gives them an incentive to go ahead and ask, you know, to come into the kingdom. Anybody else got a question or a comment? There's going to be a lot of people get healed here shortly. Many are going to be healed and come into the kingdom because of it. Yeah, Benita.
Another question kind of related to that, because I was reading that whole situation about Matthew 17:21, not that verse not being in the Bible. And so you guys probably all know about that. But, you know, because it's that same thing where he healed the disciples weren't able to, you heal the epileptic boy. And Jesus came and healed them. And they said, why couldn't we do it? And they said, because of your unbelief. And then he said at the end, the verse that they left out was, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but this type of demon doesn't come out without prayer and fasting. So that verse is not in a lot of the versions of the Bible. And so I didn't know, Michael, that's what I wanted to know, if it was in the numerics or not. Mm-hmm. It's not. Okay.
No,
so in Mark 9:29, where it says kind of the same verse, it says they don't come out without prayer, but they leave the fasting off. That part, I think, is in the numerics then, probably, right? Matthew 17:21. It won't be in your Bible, though. You'll have to Google it.
Amen.
Thank you.
It's, you know, it's always good they have massive root system. What is that? It's a good practice. When I first started going out on the streets, I would fast 3 days a week before we went out, and then we'd have a lunch before we hit the streets. And I'll tell you what, well, man, there was some miracles we saw it all over. It was amazing. It's always good to fast, you know. To do stuff like that, you don't have to, but it always is good because you're being led by the Spirit when you do that. Fast and pray, fast and pray. I pray in the Spirit a lot. I try to do it a lot. You pray in the Spirit a lot. It seems to build your faith up. It does me. The word says that praying in the Spirit edifies the person that's praying in the Spirit. Doesn't help the church any, but it sure helps you. John Lake said that somebody asked him about the secret of his ministry. He said, well, praying in the Spirit loud and long. Yeah, Andrew.
Let's not forget what you said last time there, Michael. Praising.
Yep.
And praying. And then starting your day, too.
Yep.
Maybe your Bible study after that. And you're ready to go.
That's right. You'd be ready for anything that day. Amen. Stir up the Spirit inside of you. stir up that spirit. When you stir up that spirit, I get stirred up by watching testimonies. I get stirred up by watching healings on YouTube. I get stirred up by reading about them. I get stirred up by, you know, in the spirit. I don't know about y'all, but boy, I can get fired up pretty easy in the spirit. Can y'all? Yeah. Amen. Andrew, go ahead.
Praying in the spirit, praying.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say. I don't think I said it that way. Maybe I did.
Well, we knew what you meant. We did. We knew what you meant. Yeah, praising and praying in the spirit. I do that. Put something on that you like that can get in, that stirs your spirit up, and just do it before you die if you can. If not, do it anyway. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Let me see. Where we are. We're on page 18. Y'all get there.
Page 18 doesn't sound right, Michael, and you're muted. Maybe he meant 118. I don't know. Julie, you're usually good at keeping tabs on where we're at. Do you know where we're at?
No, I don't remember. Do you remember who we read last time?
That's what I have marked down as page 18. But I missed the last couple Zoom meetings, so I don't know if you guys didn't read or what?
Well, we didn't. Yeah, we didn't read on Thursday because we didn't have a meeting. So it would have been, did we do it on Tuesday?
87, where it says, 87. I have something written, 87, it might be page 87, Galatians 4:26. So if there is a 4:26 on 87, okay. That's what this note means.
No, I've got it yellowed out on page 18. You sure that's not it? Page 18 on the PDF. It says, even as babes in the Lord.
Yep.
There's a lot of witnesses in the chat saying 87.
Were we talking about the holiness and apparel? Were we there yet? Because we were just talking about what women should be wearing, right?
Okay.
Yes.
All right, let me look. Uh-oh, there's another yellow. You said 87?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's way down the book there. I didn't think we'd gotten that far. We may have. Let me. Holiness and apparel. Yeah, you may be right. Seems like I remember that.
Yeah, we had a few discussions about women, what women should wear.
Okay, I got it yelled out too. It's on page 87, Galatians 4:26. Okay. Everybody there? Okay. Sorry about that. I've got them all yelled out, I guess, where we stopped. Okay, Galatians 4:26, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. So that born again Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from God, is being born in the life of the people. Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven of God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. This New Jerusalem is being born in the life of the people, and she is the bride, as God told John. If you want to be in the bride, you can't go under the law. It doesn't matter if it's man's law or the law of the Old Testament, which does not exist anymore because it was done away in Christ, as the Bible plainly says, 2 Corinthians 3:14. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remaineth, it not being revealed to them that it is done away in Christ. You can choose to put yourself under the law if you want to do that, but you'll not be in the bride of Christ. Galatians 4:27 says, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for more are the children of the desolate than are of her that hath the husband. It's still out of way today. People justify themselves because they're a Methodist or a Baptist or a Pentecostal, or they don't shave their legs or whatever. They're making their works their law. And then they're using all their works, using all these things that they do to try and please God to justify themselves because they don't have any faith. They don't believe that Christ redeemed them from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. And then verse 28 of Galatians 4. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so also it is now. David said, that was my experience. I was persecuted as soon as I went into that church. You're not dressed right. You don't look like us. Your wife isn't dressed right either. This is not holy. You have to be holy. Come on and be holy. Folks, a person that's holy from the heart isn't going to dress immodestly. But people who are using works to justify themselves always like to tell you what modesty is. That's a dangerous thing to do because they're adding to the word. So if you ask them, well, can you show me where that is in the Bible? They'll tell you, well, we can't do that, but look at us. We're holy. Galatians 4:30. Howbeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaiden her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. You better believe it. If you go under law seeking to be justified by how you look or what you wear or whatever, you're going to be a son of the handmaid and not of the free woman. And you will not inherit with the free woman and her child. Remember that Abraham had to send off the handmaid Hagar and her son Ishmael. Genesis 21:10. Galatians 4:31 says, wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of a free woman. Who wants to read next? Or has anybody got any questions or comments concerning women's dress? Or men's dress, as far as that goes. Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Okay, I'd be happy to. So returning to what the Lord told my wife about how he wanted her to dress, she asked, well, Lord, what would be good? What would be a righteous thing for me to wear in my dress? And you know, the Lord sent her an angel to show her a measurement from the floor to the bottom of her dress. this would be good. He wasn't making a law because the Lord pointed out, look, this only fits one person. It's for you. You can't put this on anybody else. Everybody's different in heights. Everybody's height is different. The Lord was saying, you don't make a law for other people. Now this is good for you. The angel gave her a measurement from the floor, and the dress wasn't to the floor. It was below the knee, but it wasn't to the floor. And the Lord said, for my people, you don't have to look like everybody else. Now there's a splinter group of Amish people here where we are in Tennessee. And although that's not what they call themselves, but they live like the Amish lifestyle. They all wear the same hats, the same trousers, don't have zippers on the trousers because that's considered too vain and fancy. So they use buttons. Well, the Amish say you can't have electricity. You have to cut your wood with a cross saw, a cross cut saw. So I was surprised to see chainsaws in their barns when we drove past their property. And when we stopped at the auto parts store to get a battery, the salesman commented, we sell a lot of these to the Amish. And of course, I asked him, what are they using them for? He said, solar. Wow, you mean their simple life is all just for looks? Oh, they didn't use automobiles, but they hired pagans to drive them places. I found out that they use propane to cook. And those that run businesses have a cell phone, supposedly only for business, but they watch baseball on their cell phones. So it's all just for looks. That's nothing but legalism, and legalism is a stench in God's nostrils. Get away from it and the people who do it. This is not the way to holiness. This is not the way to the bride. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I did. We've been out to the Amish looking people here locally, and it's so hypocritical. You know, they've got generators now that they use their saws with, and it's just hypocritical as it can be. And when they raise a barn, they don't raise it with crosscut saws or hand saws. They use table saws. And he's right. When they get ready to go to the airport or somewhere like that to fly somewhere, they hire somebody to take them there in a car. Amen. We're going to set them free, God willing. Set them free here one of these days. Yeah, Missy?
It's okay for them to travel by airplane?
Oh, yeah. They have to fly. I don't want to take that mule or horse
and buggy.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll fly. Some of them will, not all of them. Some of them, the top guys will fly to headquarters or wherever. Yeah. Do what, Missy?
I think it was like, I'm thinking about my instance where I got floored. I bought a glider swing. You know, one person sits on one side and another on the other side, and you get like this, you know, and has a floor in between. Anyway, it was an Amish man, and he had a cell phone, and it floored me. That was my first experience in seeing, you know, that them using modern technology, and I was like, huh? That was like 2007 or something like that when I bought.
Well, it's that, what it doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's just where they are. Okay, Judy, go ahead.
Save them, Lord.
Amen, Missy. So David goes on. Let me tell you more about that particular Holiness Pentecostal church. They said, you're lost if you don't speak in tongues, which is not true. They said, you don't know God if you didn't speak in tongues. And that's not true either. What they were doing was putting people under the law by saying, you must receive tongues. And because of that, they all, even the little children, sought to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Their whole church spoke in tongues because it was so important to them. When I went there, I was the only one who didn't speak in tongues, and they made sure that I was seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's good to have the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues and have the gifts of the Spirit, which is in 1 Corinthians 12:8-10. But most of them stopped at tongues. They weren't filled with any of the rest of the gifts, and they didn't emphasize that, so they didn't go any further. But I sought diligently to receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, and I learned how to do it by faith. You just ask the Lord for the gift of tongues, and you believe you have received, and you let the tongues come, not them. They stand around you all day at that altar until you spoke in tongues. They were very legalistic about it because they didn't know how to do it by faith. They'd grab your arms and hold them up in the air. They'd be speaking in tongues, and they'd be waiting for you to speak in tongues, just waiting. They got the work again ahead of the gift and of faith. It was a symptom of legalism. I learned that. No, you just ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and these gifts and the tongues will come. They will be manifested. At first, I was taken in by their works, and I remember a brother who was trying to pray me through to receive the Holy Spirit. He said, "Well, David, read this verse. All things whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." Mark 11:24. He asked, "Did you pray and ask for the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Yeah." Then he said, "Did you receive it?" I told him, "No, I haven't spoken in tongues." He said, "Let's do this again." Finally, I caught on. They had works ahead of faith. And eventually, I got filled with the Holy Spirit there. After about a year of going down to the altar, every time they had an altar call for the gift of tongues. In some churches, the altar call is to accept Jesus as your personal savior. But for this church, it was to speak in tongues. And I went down there every time, and they'd pray with me and pray with me. And they'd say, "Well, stand up, raise your hands, step up on the altar." You know, all sorts of different things. They always wanted you to do something to receive the gift. I just want to add something there. It's kind of like that with anything. It's not just a gift of tongues, like he was saying, but it's like sometimes the enemy will try to get you into works in your mind, or other, you know, people that think, okay, well, if you're healed, then do this. Well, if you're healed, then you can do this. You know, and you can't put that on somebody either, or yourself. I remember David saying one time in one of those teachings, it's like, you don't have to prove anything to the devil. You're healed because of your faith in what Jesus already did. And that's where you put your faith. It's what he already did. It's what he already accomplished for you. It's what he's already given to you. You just receive it, and it's just going to happen. It's just going to manifest, whatever it is you're believing for. You probably will. It happens when you're not even thinking about it. It'll just be there. You know, but the enemy's always firing those darts in your head about, well, you're not spirit filled if you don't have tongues, and you're not this if you, you know, if you can't, you know, you're not healed if it doesn't manifest. And he's putting these thoughts in your mind. Well, here you are again. It's still there, you know, or whatever. And you just got to cast it down and keep going. Anyhow, I just want to add that.
Amen. I remember what Rex said about that. He said it's not the gift that you're wanting. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit that you need.
Yeah.
It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Once you get the Holy Spirit, the tongues will come. Yeah. They came to me without anybody helping me.
Yeah, and all the other gifts too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Knowledge. He'll, you know, open up your mind and give you revelations of where the scriptures become, you understand the scriptures more in the spirit. You don't just see it in black and white in a letter. You start getting the revelation of how they start fitting together. And, man, it's just,
he'll
bring back to your remembrance everything you've written on your heart, and out of your belly flows rivers of living water because you put them there. He wrote them there.
When you have receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you've received everything that he's given you. All the gifts are available to you. It's not something you have to pray in. It's there.
Guaranteed. It's sealed there. With just the Holy Ghost. We receive.
Just believe it.
Yeah.
Just believe that it's there. It's the gifts of interpretation of tongue. What does it say about that? It says, ask God. It's already there. You say, Lord, I want to be able to interpret my tongues when I'm praying. He'll give it to you. Yeah, Pat.
So I came through the non-spirit filled funnel, shall we say. And they believed, of course, that you have all of the Holy Spirit that, you know, upon salvation, upon receiving the Lord. And yet, I felt something lacking, you know, there was something lacking in my life, obviously. And so I, even in that particular environment, started seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit from what I read and everything. And the Lord showed me one day, after I was seeking and seeking and seeking, showed me that he gave me the Holy Spirit. But, and so I was confused for the longest amount of time, because obviously we receive the Spirit of Jesus when we are born again. But there appears to be a need to exercise our volition, and ask the Father to be filled with the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit. But there was a certain amount of confusion with me at the time, and it took me a while to settle in on that I had received the Holy Spirit, because the gift of tongues did not come immediately. At least it did not come in the explosion that it seems to come in the book of Acts, and, you know, flames of fire and all that. I did not see all that, nor did I experience that, that boom, you know, all of a sudden now flowing tongues come flying out of me. It was more or less like Rex mentioned when he was talking about it, is that he got a couple words, which grew and developed, and which is how it kind of happened with me. Now I don't know why the Lord did that, because it seems to me that the scripture kind of shows, or maybe demonstrates, that the gift of the Holy Spirit and tongues comes in a quick moment of time, shall we say, or that's at least a lot of the examples in the scripture, in order to maybe help you or convince you that you have received the Holy Spirit. Because he gave, remember when Paul, or I don't know if it was Paul or some of the apostles came into town basically and said, you know, have you received the Holy Spirit since you've been saved? And, you know, they didn't even know about it. So there seems to be a benefit, whether it is a need, but certainly a benefit to receiving that experience all in one fell swoop, shall we say. And I think I was kind of confused as to, for the longest amount of time, whether I had received the Holy Spirit, because I didn't get that immediate, instant, boom, speaking in tongues and whatever, that type of experience. So I don't know if anybody else had struggled with that or thought about that or whatever. But anyway, I toss it out.
I had a lot of preachers lay their hands on me to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And, I didn't get the full baptism of the Holy Spirit until I was out in my shop by myself. Y'all heard me talk about that before. It was the God. I'm telling you what, it was heavenly. I mean, that was an experience, and it was like God just went through me, and I just immediately started speaking in tongues. full language. And I did that for about 4 hours. Man, I tell you what, I was floating around that shop like an angel. It was awesome. But yeah, that's what happened to me. But I had sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I don't know what was blocking it, but it was something in me, you know, probably faith or whatever. Until I finally got out there one day and I said, Lord, I've asked you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Now I'm believing that you're going to do it. And I started praising God. And then all of a sudden I went around. There was a car, little old Russian car. I had just bought that place of mine. Little old Russian car. I forget what they call them was in there. And that thing, I bought it when I bought that house. And I was going around that shop, mine, going around and around, and boy, I'm telling you what, God dropped in. Whew. My gracious sakes alive. I never will forget it. It was an awesome experience. I hope everybody experiences it. But yeah, there's preachers out there that preach, man, once you get salvation, that's all you're going to get. They preach that. I've heard them preach it. There ain't nothing else. This is it, boys. You got salvation now. You're going to heaven. Glory to God. And that's it. That's all you get. There ain't nothing else. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. And I wouldn't want to be the one that was preaching that either. I had a guy. Yeah, we'll go into that some other time. All right, anybody else got a comment? Okay, you want to continue, Julie, or you want somebody else to?
I'll read till we come to a spot here.
Okay,
David continues. I did have some wonderful experiences down there at the altar. One time I had a vision of a light coming from the distance like a train coming right straight at me. I thought, oh boy, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that light came and it went right inside my head and lit up the whole inside of my head. And then it went out the other side and kept on going. And that's because I was seeking him by works. He came, but I didn't grab him. He came and he kept on going. And I thought, oh my goodness, what does this mean? Another time I was standing up there praying with them to receive the Holy Spirit. When I stepped outside of my body and I walked right through them while they were huddled around me like a football huddle. And I walked right through their bodies. I turned around and looked at myself back there slumped over the altar while they were all around me praying. And then I walked back through them, right through their bodies again and got back in my body. The Lord just wanted to show me that the spiritual realm is real. But these holiness Pentecostal people weren't entering into a whole lot of that. To them, everything was legalism and self-righteousness. When I did finally get separated from them, it was because I got revelations from God regarding the truth about the rapture, and they couldn't receive them. The Lord put it all together in my head in a sudden revelation. I had never received a word of knowledge like that before. I even asked God, I've never received anything like this before. And they won't believe me, so please send somebody to confirm what you told me. And he did. He sent a man to me who told me exactly what the Lord told me, and that's what sprung up out of that church. Also, at the same time, there were two more brothers who had each received revelations too, and this man brought the confirmations that each of us needed. So we were all three sprung out of that church. These were our friends, and we weren't against them. We loved them. In fact, we wanted to go back over and fellowship with them and bring all this revelation to them. But suddenly, because we didn't agree with them, they didn't love us anymore. And I realized that this was wrong. This was not Christianity. Well, I had another brother in that church who was close to me when the three of us had just received these revelations, and he wasn't able to accept the revelations either. So when this brother got home, he stretched out face down on his carpet to pray for me. And his wife was sitting in the chair next to him, and he said, oh, Lord, don't let Dave be deceived. Don't let him be deceived. And he told me that the Holy Spirit picked him up off the floor while he was prostrate
and held him just like that in the air, in the middle of the room. And the Holy Spirit led him, held him in the air, and he spoke in his ear and said, I'm teaching him the true relationship of a father to his son. You see, this church had the problem of not understanding the relationship of the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. But he was also speaking about my personal relationship to him as a son. You cannot be a son of God if you are under the law, as we've seen. And the people who are under the law will not inherit with the sons of God.
Amen.
First Corinthians.
Let's see if somebody, anybody, I want to ask a question. Has anybody in here ever been, ever gone out of their body, had an out-of-body experience?
Not yet.
Let's hear it, Pat.
I was laying in bed. I don't know if I was asleep or not. Let me put it in context. I was in the Baptist church. I wasn't sleeping in the Baptist church, but that was the church I was in at the time. Fundamental, independent, premillennial, they had their little skit there that went along with it. But anyway, I was on a job down in south part of Oklahoma, was doing a room addition. And so my wife and the kids, we were staying in a motel down there. And it was late at night, 2 or 3 in the morning. I don't really remember, but I was laying in bed, and this was a time when I was really rejoicing with the Lord. This is after I had sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it was about that time frame. And anyway, I was laying in bed, and the Lord said, come up. And I felt myself coming out of my body, and I came up. It was in the, I couldn't tell if it was in the room or whatever. It was in the dark, but I came up. And I don't know if it was unbelief or whatever, but I turned around and I looked at my body and I said, well, what about him? And when I said that, I was immediately back in my body again. And the interesting thing about it, I was stunned, but kind of excited about the whole thing. And the Lord led me to that scripture that Paul was talking about, whether in the body or whether out of the body, I don't know, that type of thing. And I went to my pastor about that and talked to him about it, you know. And he kind of gave me the evil eye. You know, I could tell he was, okay, well, this kid's had too much something, you know. But anyway, it wasn't, I could see that concept was not something that was acceptable in that environment. So I just kind of quieted down about it. I never said anything about it to anybody else after that. But yes, that was the closest thing I had.
Amen. Sound like a good one. I've never had it. I just read and I asked. Anybody else had it? Out of body experience. Pat, you could have flown around the universe up there if you hadn't looked back at that body, you know?
I kind of regret that at the time, you know. But I kind of cut that excursion short.
That was awesome.
Well, I must have, maybe I have a few things I have to learn before my flying license.
Yeah.
What excites me? Is that one of these days, David's going to meet up with those people over in that nation or that country that he went, that the Lord took him to.
Yep.
He's going to meet those people again one of these days. And I suspect he'll be able to understand what they're saying as well at the time.
Yeah, but that was awesome. Exciting.
I would really like to hear somebody over there speak about that time, you know, when David went over there.
I'd love to have somebody from them come to us and tell us about it. There he is. That's that guy. Showed up at our church.
Amen.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I think you're right. I think somebody will verify it, confirm it some point in time. Okay, go ahead, Julie.
I'll just finish this. There's like a page and a half here until the end of the chapter.
Okay. All right.
1 Corinthians 4:6. Now these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us ye may learn not to go beyond the things which are written, that no one of you be puffed up for the one against the other. What I saw in that church was that they were puffed up against the whole Christian world, even against those who did speak in tongues. They believed that their tongues were of God, but these other people speaking in tongues didn't believe the same doctrine they believed in. Then these other people weren't walking in wholeness in their tongues, weren't of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, that is dangerous. I told one of them that after I had been set free, he said to me, well, those people's tongues are not of God. But I let him know, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And if you're not, you're very close to it. I would shut up. I would shut that up. And he did. He stopped talking and walked off. Folks, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for doing that. They said in Luke 11:15, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, casteth he out demons. And they accused Jesus that the works done through him by the Holy Spirit were of the devil, Matthew 12:31-32. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is an unforgivable sin. In Luke 12:10, everyone who shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. What does legalism do? In 1 Corinthians 8:1, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. That's the Greek word, theseo, and it means arrogant, proud, but love edifieth. The Greek there is okadamomio, and it means encourage, literally. Build someone up, helping them to stand, be strong, sturdy. If any man thinketh that he knoweth anything, he knoweth not yet as he ought to know. But if any man loveth God, the same is known by him. There is no love in legalism. It just puffs people up. You can see how puffed up they are because they've done this and they've done that. And they've done other, but you're not doing what we do. You're just not like us. Well, you know what? I thank God that I wasn't like them after I saw through their legalism and overcame it. And that's why Paul warns us not to go beyond the things which are written, is so we don't become puffed up. When the Bible just says to dress with modesty, but some churches or fellowship wants to tell you specifically what modesty is, they're going beyond the things that are written. They want to shut you out so that you'll chase after them in an effort to be righteous by doing what they do. All they're proving is that they're puffed up. One of the things they said at this particular church was, let us tell you what the Bible means when it says a woman should have long hair. It means a woman doesn't cut her hair. Oh, so the women there had to wrap a big tall bun on top of their head because their hair was so long from growing it for years and years. But when they would shout in the spirit, because that was one of the things they really liked to do, that beehive would fall off the top of their head and onto the ground. And I told them more than once, you know, I don't believe the Lord likes that, because when you get in the spirit, he shakes it down. Maybe something's wrong here. Well, they just looked at me like I was funny or like I was ignorant. And you know, those poor young girls, since they couldn't cut their hair, they would actually gnaw it off with their teeth. And then tell you, no, I haven't cut my hair. I don't cut my hair. That's how stupid legalism makes you. Or like that splinter Amish group. We use a cross cut saw. Well, then what's the chainsaw doing in your barn? Demons make people stupid. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I think you're going to come out of that legalism. Praise God. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Yeah, Michael, I wanted to share a dream. I don't know if there was somebody else that had their hand up. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I think I had a dream. I don't know. I had a dream. I think it was from the Lord. So I'm just going to tell you what it was about. And got to find it because I wrote it down. So it was this long dream, and I can't remember most of it. But at the very end, I was with a friend of mine, and another friend came in, and we were supposed to meet up in some room in this big, it was almost like a school or a hotel or something. So we were going to meet up in another room on the other end. And so so we separated. My friend and I started going that way together, and the other friend was going somewhere else first or something. So we started walking towards that room, and we got to a certain point, and in front of us, there was a long hallway, and it just became pitch black. You couldn't see anything down that hallway at all. And then all of a sudden, somebody kind of ran out of there. You couldn't see them, but they had these reflectors on their pants. And they came running out of there and tried to grab us. And I don't know if they were good or bad, but they kind of grabbed us, and then they let go and ran off. So my friend and I were standing there and trying to figure out, you know, we didn't want to go down in that darkness. It was very scary. And so we were trying to think maybe if we held hands and walked down together. And then we thought, well, if somehow we got separated, we wouldn't be able to see each other or anything. And so we threw that out. And then we said, well, maybe we'll get flashlights. And we thought about that. And we thought, well, what if the batteries die? Then we're going to be in total blackness. And it was just too scary. I think it was then that I woke up, and I remember thinking, like, I don't want to get sucked into this blackness of all of this, all these lies that are out there in the church and the world and everything. I don't want to get sucked into that blackness. I just want to stay in the light. And so I was praying on that and just confessing all the scripture verses that were coming to my mind. And I couldn't close my eyes because I was too scared I'd be in the darkness again. So I just turned on my light next to my bed and just kept praying. And then the thought came to me just to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Like I was telling the spirit to depart from me because I it wasn't a familiar spirit. And that would kind of surprise me because usually I'm thinking to cast something out or, you know, but just to tell it to depart from me like Jesus did, that was kind of new to me. So I didn't want that unfamiliar spirit to be allowed in this temple, and only the Holy Spirit was allowed there, and that's what I was confessing. Only the Holy Spirit's allowed in here. And then I just began praying, and then I opened up my phone to read the Bible, to read the verse, and the verse that was there was, again, therefore, Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. And I just like, wow. I just started laughing. Darkness. I've got the light of the world. I don't need to be afraid. So I was laughing about that. And then a little bit later on that day, I was listening to one of David's teachings, and he was talking about Abraham and Sarah and the promise that God had given them. And so Sarah had had the baby, and she named it Laughter, well, Isaac. And Sarah said in verse 21:6, it said, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Everyone that heareth will laugh with me. I thought, amen, praise the Lord. Everybody, we're just all going to rejoice and laugh because we've got the light. So amen, that was it.
Uh-oh, I was muted. Go ahead, Missy.
I had something came to my mind that when I got pregnant with my oldest son, Matt, I wasn't married, but we got married, you know, before he was born and everything. I wasn't real pregnant yet. But anyway, my mom told me that my grandmother had, and I had, I had picked out a white dress, and I tried on a like ivory colored one, and it just washes me out, made me look like deformed over with my skin color. Anyway, my mom told me that my grandmother said, if she wears a white dress, I'm not going to the wedding. She's not a virgin. She's got pregnant before she got married. My mom said to her, she said, Mom, there's a lot of women out there that wear a white dress. Most women nowadays, when they get married, they're not virgins. And that shut my grandmother up real quick. And you know what's so sweet about that? That's, you know, when I was a kid or even early 20s or whatever, at that time, you know, there's only two times offhand that I can just remember that my mom took up for me. And there was just, you know, I was just sitting here thinking about that. And, you know, I love my grandmother. It didn't bother me, you know, that my grandmother said that per se. I think I was maybe just a little nervous maybe that she would say something to me personally, you know, or whatever. And, that was just sweet that my, you know, I'm just thinking about that. I hadn't thought about that in a long time. And it just really touched my heart. You know, it took me getting married and moving away from home from my mom and I to finally start getting along and having a decent relationship. And, but the fact that she said that, I don't think I really said much anything. I think it kind of stunned me that my mom took up for me. She wasn't happy about the fact that I was pregnant. Obviously no mother would be, but you know, and it wasn't, you know, uncommon from, you know, for me to, for my mom to have a lot of criticism and condemnation, towards us kids and me in particular, but, you know, but I don't hold anything against her. You know, I understand my mom so much more than what I used to, understanding rejection and condemnation and, all that kind of stuff. You know, I understand, you know, where my mom, what she went through when she was a kid and everything. And, but, you know, sometimes my heart just aches for my mom, because there's still things that she hasn't been delivered of, but she's gonna be, by faith she is delivered from rejection and, you know, condemnation and all that stuff, you know. But anyway, it was just sweet that my mom took up for me.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was just wanted to say something about Vanita's dream when she was talking about being afraid going down that dark hall. And I don't know if that was kind of just, the thought in my mind was religious spirits or religion or that sort of thing. I don't know what Vanita was thinking there, but of course I think she brought up the scripture, walk in the light as he is in the light. And that's that very scripture is the main difference between those that are trapped in the apostate system, and that difference is they're not taught to walk in the light, walk according to the word, walk in obedience to it. So I wanted to, put that in my search real quick, and I just wanted to read the scriptures. I think the one that Benita brought up was John 8:12. It says, again, therefore Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 11:9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. The light of this world is Jesus and his word. John 11:10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. 12:35, Jesus therefore said unto them, yet a little while the light is the light among you. Walk while ye have the light, that the darkness overtake you not. He that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were once darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and this is obviously the kicker of the whole thing, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And again, we don't have to worry about the dark overtaking us, as long as we are continuing to walk in the light, walk in what we've been shown. And I know we were talking, you know, about the reading about the different sects of Christianity that are bound in, in certain ignorances and whatnot. But I think one of the things that the Lord was showing me, even in the scriptures that I brought up about laughing to scorn, Jesus came in opposition to the established leadership of the apostate system that knowingly kept their followers in the ignorance in order to control them. But he never once, I mean, I don't remember him ever, every one of the people of the Jews and of the in that religion that were still under the authority of that religion, those people that desired to know Jesus and came to him, he received them all. And he, like Michael said, he healed them all. All that came asking for healing, he healed them all. But Jesus was against those leaders that, those blind hypocrites. So I guess the thought that I have is that I know that sometimes we're talking to people that are in those type of sects of Christianity and but realize that they're just under the authority of that, or shall we say the usurped authority of that, and that they are captives, they're bound. And so to be sensitive to look for that desirous heart or that desirous spirit that wants to be, that is questioning and still trying to come to the Lord, because I believe there's going to be many, many there that are going to come out of those religions. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
I just saw that I was muted. Lord, we thank you that you are going to bring a bunch of them out of those apostate religions, and we praise you for that, Father. Get them unbound. Loose them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, be with us the rest of the time until we meet again. And, Lord, let us have a lot of testimonies and experiences from you, Lord. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for all the healings tonight. Thank you for all of the prayers that have already been answered in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that those orphans over there are going to have a nice, beautiful place here very shortly. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Y'all be blessed.